So welcome back. This is hour two of our sixth class for Tea Touch for You, Co-Creating Heaven on Earth. And the reading that Linda just read at the beginning of hour one is from her Voices of Nature booklet, which is, it's not published as a book yet. It is called Take a Vow, and I took a picture of it and posted it in our Facebook group, and that is already posted, and also that will be a handout posted in your membership site so that you'll have it available in two different locations. And as soon as Linda is ready, we will begin hour two. We still can't hear you, Linda. There, try again. Nope. Can't hear you. And I see. So we're just waiting for Linda to figure out her sound for some reason. It's not working. And oh, sounds like something is getting connected. Nope.
Huh.
Okay. Go ahead, Linda.
So, I'm so amazed because I simply opened this book this morning and I wanted to share something different with you all. And I wrote this in 1992, and that let's get back to nature. And then, you know, let's take the steps to heal the rift between and bridge the gap between intellect and intuition. And that has been our 6 month concept of combining spirituality and science and quantum science, and can bring man and nature back to new levels of fruition of connection. And this, I've just loved the pieces that Eleanor has brought in to us, this concept of understanding what I intuitively got, you know, the ear tea touch that, thanks to my Mayor Bin Galita, 1958, just intuitively doing the ear tea touch, just on stroking from the base of the ear out to the tips, that actually caused her then to end and caused an end. Her body was able to end a 4-day impaction and a 4-day colic. And instead of being euthanized, which the vet was on the way to do, that ear tea touch changed the whole situation, and that mirror lived on and set a record for me. And this idea that doing the ear tea touches all these years, we've had so many miracles happen because of that, of people being revived and feeling better and actually having the heart start again without pressure, just with the ear tea touches that we know works. And then understanding, thanks to what we've done in this 6 months together, looking at the ear, finding these, wow, that exactly where we go and been going in the ear intuitively, those are the points that work. And then having Eleanor really bring us into an awareness of this miraculous tree branch of nerves that we have from this vagus nerve. So Eleanor has something really special for us this week, this month, with another interesting, fascinating, very useful part of the vagus nerve. Go, girl.
All right. So let me share with you, as you were saying that, I got excited and I pulled up a different photo, which I think I might have shared with you guys before. Can you see this? This is where I have the ear superimposed on it.
Yep.
Okay, so there's many different ways to talk about the vagus nerve, but the vagus nerve is this amazing group branches of nerves that comes from the base of the brain and goes up into the skull, or goes down through the bottom of the skull, and it travels all the way down to the bottom of our body. And as I was thinking of it, I'd like you to see, so if this were the bottom of my skull right here, if you can see that I were holding my skull in my hands and the bottom of the skull were resting in my hands, there's an opening, a big opening in the bottom, which the spinal cord comes from.
And let's just do that. Let's put our hands back there and experience that for those of you on the phone, and just imagine that connection. And not just imagine, feel it. So go on, Eleanor, with our hands there.
And you can feel when you have your hands like this, as your skull is resting on your hands, notice that your fingertips can tilt your head a little bit forward. The top of your head can go a little forward. And then the heel of the hands can lift the jawbone up and the head can go a little bit back. But that your finger pads are still supporting your skull. It's still supporting your head, so you're not dropping the head back. So you can feel that your finger pads support your skull and the heel of your hand support your skull, and that the finger pads can lift the back of your skull and make your head go forward. And the heel of your hands can lift your head and tilt it back. The top of your head goes back, but those loving finger pads still support the skull. So it's not falling back, but it's giving it that innate movement of being able to go forward and back and done with safety.
And it's such a divine feeling when you tip your head in this way. I love that feeling. It's like with the safety of the finger pads.
I have always, you know, when I think about it, I've always seen you always taking your hands and kind of tilting your head back. And then you mentioned about how Moshe would take people's heads, and that was so crucial. So Moshe Feldenkrais really worked with people through the head and skull a lot. And a lot of people, they sort of got it, but you know, there's so much importance that wants to come through here, because on to the side of the big opening where the spinal cord comes from are two small openings in the base of your skull called the jugular foramen. And your vagus nerve goes through that, your jugular vein goes through that. Another nerve branch from the base of the brain called the accessory nerve goes through that. And another branch of nerves, because, you know, nothing ever just does one thing, right? I love that, is called the glossopharyngeal nerve. And those go to the face, and they go to the ears, they go to the jaws, they go to the tongue, the back of the tongue for taste. They are part in the pharynx with swallowing, and those nerve branches, that's just glossopharyngeal, but you've got all of those, the vagus nerve, glossopharyngeal, accessory nerve, which is part of sympathetic, parasympathetic, that we work with heart rate variability, and jugular foramen. So when we can gently move our head like this in a safe way, we can increase and decrease blood flow into the brain. And it's okay to increase and it's okay to decrease. We were designed to do that. But the fact is, we don't want to live in a state of decreased blood flow, even though that's a nice thing, it's an important thing. It gets blood to flow to the muscles and gets us to be able to get out of a dangerous spot. But let's talk in this case of increasing the blood flow. So we're increasing the functioning of these vagus nerve branches that you've heard me talk about so much that go through the neck and along the throat, and they go into the heart, and they go along into the lungs, and they go into the diaphragm, and into all of your digestive organs, all of your organs that have to do with digestion, all the way down to the bottom of the pelvis. But in this case, just as a taste, let's see what we could happen, that we could do to increase the tonality, the functioning, the resilience of this amazing nerve branch just by doing the T-touch along the side of our neck. And you've heard Linda talk about the orangutan, the baby orangutan, the chimp, the baby chimp, right, with the back of the hands. So we can use the back of the hands.
Fingers.
Back of the fingers, yeah, thank you. Back of the fingers, yeah, I'm doing that. The back of the fingers along the side of the neck, along the muscles called the sternocleidomastoid muscles. The sternocleidomastoid connects to the sternum, the clavicle, and the mastoid bones. And they're those ballerina muscles, the really long, beautiful muscles. But the vagus nerve winds along and innervates into the through that musculature. So I think of people that have had a head injury or whiplash, or they chronically carry their head overdone forward, or they overdo it backwards. This can help. So we're using the back of the hand, the back of the fingers, and we're just going circle and a quarter along the front sides of the throat and neck, more along the side of the neck, following this, and follow your intuition. Maybe you want to take both hands to one side and explore, circle in a quarter in your breath, and you can see here, I don't know if you can see my cursor, but you can see this vagus nerve branching here goes along the sternocleidomastoid and the carotid artery. So the carotid artery is along the side of the neck. And that's a really big deal, that we can work to talk to this part. And I believe that when we talk to just any part of the vagus nerve branching, it talks to all of the vagus nerve branching.
And it's interesting that the baby orang, that position from the tips of the fingers to the second joint, that was actually came into being the day that we were working in one of the T-Touch for You certification trainings in Germany. And you see, if you try to work your neck using your fingers in a normal way, it doesn't feel safe. It's just instinctively not a very nice feeling. And if you turn the fingers around, and I was just working on somebody like from the side, it's really feels safe and comfortable and nurturing. And Eleanor, I was so blessed because that feeling that you're describing with supporting the back of the skull, the back of the occiput, and you know, with the fingers, and then actually moving, tipping, you know, tilting the jaw forward. I was so blessed because I got to work, I had 10 private sessions from 10 private sessions from Moshe Feldenkrais during my Feldenkrais training. And I always, because he wouldn't take just anyone. He had so many people wanting, and I always thought he must really believe that I needed it, which I'm sure I did. But every time I'd get that same wonderful feeling of very safely exploring, moving that skull and extending the jaw in a very different way. And I'd like to point out, anyone who picks, you know, who handles a baby, how important it is to support that skull. And I've worked with moms in a hospital in South Africa, where they were not aware of the importance of supporting that head and not just letting it go back. It's really different. I love the way you led us here, Eleanor, to feel that, because it's a very safe, wonderful way.
It's beautifully safe, because when we're supporting the base of our skull with the pads of our fingers and the front of the lower jaw with the heel of the hand.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not letting it fall back. You're moving it and supporting it. Because the thing is the thing that I noticed that as people age, the one thing their head doesn't really do is go back, because it's been going forward. Everything in life is about going forward. We don't notice so much the back. Right? So I say to you, do this slowly, do this gently, and be aware that you are taking care of yourself. It may have been a long time since you've had this level of differentiation in the skull to the neck. But if you do this little by little, it'll help increase to open up that jugular vein that goes through those little openings to get more blood flow. And when that blood flow happens, that allows the blood flow to go past the base of the brain to the frontal cortex and the prefrontal cortex. That allows more full brain functioning. And therefore, if that's the case, that gives a little less pressure on the amygdala, the ancient part, to have to work so hard. And it allows the hippocampus, which is the part that allows our hormones and oxytocin, as so does the amygdala, to produce. But all of that will allow movement and blood flow and functioning to the frontal and prefrontal cortex. And this is a great piece that we may go into much more, hopefully, into our next series, because I really want to take this into what we can do for ourselves to help ourselves as we're here longer on this earth, that are so simple using these touches, but to understand the anatomy and the chemistry of what's going on. And it's so simple and super exciting. But for you to take away, go back to this touch along the side. Please do this. This is the part that's so amazing that we go along today, along the sternocleidomastoid.
Now, let's, Eleanor, that was really beautiful, really beautiful. Now, let's slowly, I would love to have you just reiterate again why that is important. Those two little, we looked at that drawing before, that beautiful. Can we look at the skull like we did where you see where the spine comes? Can you pull that up? And see this and talk about why that's important, because that could be what starts to cause dizziness. Is that a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. I have so much to say about that. Oh, la, la. Okay, so this is my excitement. Oh, la, la. So I want to tell a short 30-second story. My dear Mamala, she's 92 years old. For a few years, she suffers with lightheaded or dizzy. And of course, the doctors are like, they ran every test, they can't figure it out. And last night, as she's woeing, like, I don't know why I'm so lightheaded and dizzy. And I'm like, you know what, Mom, this is what happens. Okay. And I'm going to say this to you. When we get a little stiff in the head and the neck, what happens is, can you see my cursor?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Oh, no, I can't. Yes. No,
okay. Wait. How about annotate? One sec. Spotlight.
I see it.
Oh, look at this. Oh, I'm so excited. I found a spotlight. Okay. So this is the base of the skull. This is the front of the base of the skull. This is the back of the base of the skull. And this is the bottom. This whole thing is the bottom of the base of your skull.
And you're looking from the top down.
And here your spinal cord goes through. Now, I don't know how many of you knew this. I kind of, all the anatomy I took, didn't really realize all these other openings on the base of the skull that are absolutely crucial. So here is where the spinal cord goes through. Here are the two openings. And this picture, as beautiful as it is not exactly accurate, and I'm going to tell you why. This is where the vagus nerve goes through on the right and the left, as does the accessory nerve. It's another of the cranial nerve in that area.
Eleanor?
As does the jugular vein.
Hold on, Eleanor. Sandy's trying to get you to do something.
For the people who are just listening.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Can you describe, like, on either side where the spinal cord is?
Thank you, Sandy. On both sides, on the right and the left side of the base of the skull opening, so there's a big opening in the base of the skull called the foramen magnum, okay? And on the right side and the left side of it are another opening on the right side, another opening on the left. And what goes through them are a few things. The vagus nerve, number one, the accessory nerve, number two. Number three is the glossopharyngeal nerve. So you can see, if you look at Sandy, you can see how she's touching along her jaw and her face. And if she were to touch with a popsicle stick, the back of her tongue, all the taste buds in the back of the tongue, not the front or the sides, the back of the tongue, are this glossopharyngeal nerve. So I want you to think about people as they get older, sometimes they don't taste things so well. That is that nerve being impinged on. Okay. The other thing that goes through there, which is really important, is the jugular vein. So what happens is when we are stressed, which happens since the dawn of mankind, and we got to run for shelter, we have a mechanistic system that happens, and it causes those two top vertebrae to move forward, and it pinches off the blood flow just a little bit to that jugular vein so that it causes the blood flow to go more to the muscles of the body and Whoa. Less brain. I know. Very interesting. So that allows you to get blood flow to your muscles and get the heck out of there. It's a good safety mechanism. The other thing it does is it takes away the front of the brain thinking. So it takes you away from thinking, wait a minute, I heard a noise. Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? It takes it straight to the old part of the brain in the base of the brain that says, that direction, I'm out of here. And it saves your life. That's a really good thing.
Incredible.
Isn't it? Except you don't want to live there. Right? We don't want to live where it's always pinched off. And this is where doing the T-touch along the side of the neck. And I've been doing this with my clients in my practice for about the last 2.5 years. And only in the last 9 months, 10 months, did it finally occur to me, oh, wait a minute. I got it. I know what's going on here. This is the vagus nerve on the right and left side, as the jugular vein is, and those other nerves. If we use the baby orang, which is the back of the fingers from the tip of the fingers to the back of the knuckles, ever so softly to just, I mean, I can't do this without taking in a breath, so hold on. Right? So, and we just do circle and a quarter along the sides of the neck, we can directly speak to the functioning of the vagus nerve. And if we do that, it will talk to the blood flow in the jugular vein, accessory nerve and the glossopharyngeal nerve. So suddenly Sandy will move her fingers up to the jaw as she goes to the from the side of the neck and go up to the jaw. It's just a natural inclination. Why? Because those grouping of nerves are together and they feed off of each other. So that's where we can do this, and immediately then we get more blood flow into the whole brain. And what we could see if we measured heart rate variability, we would see vagal tone functioning, which is resilience and breath.
And think, I just want to stop you here for a moment, because you're talking about your mother being older. But the fact is, I was with this beautiful young woman in maybe her early 50s, maybe looks way more like mid-40s. And she could not work with us one day because she suddenly couldn't keep her balance. And the fact is, it's not just with aging. I believe it's happening with levels of stress that people are under.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I just came back from an amazing neuroscience conference at the University of Tel Aviv in Israel. And when I put together what these neuroscientists were talking about, I'm going, oh my God, we're doing this. We're doing what they're surmising. And they have studies on it. And what it shows is when that area is stressed and impacted, it goes to the vestibular part of the nervous system, the inner ear balance, and that inner ear balance goes off. And I'm like, I got it. We do not have to have a multi-million dollar machinery to do their games, to move eye movement, to get vagal tone. We can do this on the side of the neck, and then we can move the head along with it, and we can slowly start to improve that, which will improve the vestibular nervous system, inner ear balance. But if we add, which we do in Feldenkrais, as you might remember, old lessons that Moshe did with eye movement, right? That it was like, if you move the head a little side to side, the eyes, move eyes up and down. So if we add with this way of working the baby orang on the side of the neck and moving the head a little bit forward and back, but it's about getting it soft, and we add the movement little by little, the movement of the eyes with our movement, we will stimulate all of those centers, and it doesn't have to go into a stress mode. And in other words, we can start to heal those systems, and I think we can help improve that level of balance to all of us.
Well, and one of the things that something Anne just pointed out, and I was thinking it in the exact moment, think of all the kids with their heads down in their cell phone.
Yeah.
What is going to happen? And what recently happened to a friend of mine, she started to have this feeling of her heart racing, same thing that Roland had like a couple of months ago, and went to the hospital for it. And she's now on so many drugs that if you read what it can do to you, I don't understand how they can get away with giving that to us. Yeah. And so it's just, when we understand this is, it's a feeling that I can still feel Moshe moving my head forward. It's the most wonderful feeling. And most people don't dare to do it because they don't understand the support, the importance of the support that you feel. And Sandy, you were present in Virginia. And the first time I remember I was working with someone who's had like long-standing pain, and we were doing a past life thing with them. And it had to do with being choked. It was one of those. She couldn't touch her neck in this way. And because when you put your fingers on somebody in a normal way, that's not a safe feeling because of the jugular vein. And as soon as you protect it by having the back of your fingers like this, you can work around all these really sensitive parts in a way that the body feels safe. There's something that is a very different feeling. And I think this concept that we're looking at of what used to be an aging thing is going to be from the very young age because of the way we're using them.
Yeah. And Linda, I want to answer a couple of people who asked, would this help with dementia and Alzheimer's and tension on the throat with problems with swallowing? Yes. 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 And so, and with regarding dementia and Alzheimer's, it's you've got to work your way in slowly so that the person is feeling safe. It's better when it's in the beginning of the day rather than the end of the day, usually for them. And you just keep working it because honestly, it's like the diagnosis is not as relevant as all the systems that aren't functioning as well. So when we're going in and touching and understanding in this way, we can make a big difference. Maybe they look at it in the medical profession or the scientific field as slowing down symptoms. We look at it as keep reminding them who they are.
And the thing is, we have a significant amount of experience with dementia and Alzheimer's from the certification trainings we did in Germany. And the fact is, you just have to start on the shoulder. It's one of the safest parts. You just start doing a few touches on the shoulders and let the person connect with you in a different way. And then you can do this stuff. It's really, it's such a gift that we have to share with all the generations now. And I realize as we're talking about this, what's going on with all these kids now
it's not just that. So what's happening with the children is they're not getting the eye movement. And that's even a bigger problem because the eye movement is the key to the brain. Cool. And then they're playing whatever those games are called, you know, where they're, it's like 3D games that they put the headset, but they're still not developing long version movement of the eyes to focus at a distance. It's still done within the metrics of those software programs. So it is so important that children are outside playing and they are looking at long distances, but it's important for all of us.
So let us consider what we can do about that, because it's really easy to think, oh yay. And yet if we know that collectively here, what we can do is shine awareness, bring awareness, just what you're doing here, Eleanor, on how this all functions, and hold the quantum science infinite possibility that there'll be, this will be a subject that will start to come up and we'll hear more and more about it, because we only have to put it out in the quantum field and hold that there are solutions for this, and that this exploration, let's just continue with this a little bit more, because I see many of you feeling this. I once did a session on a woman and I spent a good 45 minutes with the tiniest movements of her head, the kindest, just what we're doing here. This was in the days when I was doing Feldenkrais. It was before T-Touch. And I would today add T-Touch, and to the T-Touch, I would add this beautiful rotation with the understanding that we didn't have in our Feldenkrais days, Eleanor. We didn't have this understanding of what was going on. And being able to really bring this in this way, wow, let's just spend and move your body a little bit with it as you actually, instead of just sitting solidly, you just find if you sort of play around a little bit and rotate from your pelvis. I'm moving my, in the chair, moving my pelvis as I'm gently moving my head. And you can take somebody who has a jaw issue, like really serious jaw issue, and with very gentle movements in this way, really the simplest movements of the raccoon touches, and then adding in this rotation, you can release jaw pain. They can release jaw pain like this in a maybe like 30 minutes of these really gentle rotations. So play around with this a little bit. Eleanor, I love this drawing. For those of you on the phone, I wish you could see around this central opening, you have these two little areas that looks like a, a cashew, the shape of a cashew, where these important nerves come out to either side.
And in our next series, if we can, I can go into really
detail. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But right now, let's just celebrate the awareness of that and how we can reduce the tendency, as you said, that we all have to be a little forward. And then moving that. Does anyone have any questions of Eleanor? I would love to have you now just connect, and we can just even imagine, if you're tired of doing this on yourself for the moment, just feeling that connection as you gently work this area of the vagus nerve, realizing that you're connecting all the way down, you know, to your core, to the base of where we're sitting, right? Take us there again, Eleanor. Just let's do a little review, because this is so essential.
Yes, yes. So the vagus nerve starts in the base of the brain, and it travels. And if you want, please use your hands on yourself to follow on yourself where the vagus nerve branches go, and outline it along through your body. And don't just stay on the outside. Send yourself inside to experience it 3D. Yeah, it's not just down the front. So we just feel that the vagus nerve comes down through those two openings in the base of the skull, on the side, the right side and the left side of the spinal cord opening. And then they go along the sternocleidomastoid, those beautiful strong musculature.
Describe where that is.
And the sternocleidomastoid connects from the jawbone area, and it connects all the way to the front of the sternum and on top of the clavicles. So it's excuse me, multifaceted. And also in there, along the sides, the vagal nerve branches go through the carotid artery. So it actually goes in the sheathing of the carotid artery, this lining of the carotid artery. It weaves in and out of that. It really is an amazing wandering nerve, what it touches in on. And so that softness of the neck just might have a lot to do with the quality of the health of the carotid artery regarding possibility of calcification in the artery. And this can keep that connection happening into the carotid artery and all through the musculature of the side of the neck. And then you can feel with your hands, the vagus nerve goes down along the esophagus.
Let's keep going lower, lower, lower. I want to get down.
Down, follow it down. You. And then as it goes, keep in mind, it branches into the heart for heart rate variability. It branches into the lungs for that breathing in through the nose and out through pursed lips. And then richly, richly innervated into the muscle of the diaphragm, that super strong musculature that separates out every organ in your chest area from all the organs in your abdomen. And give thanks to how that diaphragm takes a good job and is involved in the breathing and the vagus nerve innervation into that. And then down the center and most of the time, just a tad over to the left is the stomach where it feeds into. And then starts feeding into the intestines. And let's not forget the pancreas and the spleen on the left side.
Let's give thanks as we mention each one of these.
I am gratitude. So thankful for my pancreas, for the job that she does, not just to balance my blood sugar, sure, thank you, but for all the digestive juices she sends out to break down and incorporate all that food that I get to eat and make it turn into common sense that my body knows what to do with it. Thank you, pancreas, really every day of my life. And the spleen tucked behind the pancreas has the vagus nerve, and that's about the health of our immune system. Oh, yes. And in our blood and in our bones. And then we start down at the bottom left with a small intestine about 2 inches below the belly button and about 2 inches over to the right of the belly button. So go 2 inches down and a little bit 2 inches to the right. And that's where the small intestine meets the large intestine with a little valve that can open and close. Thank you very much for knowing when you need to open and let the liquid from the small intestines to come in. And thank you for knowing when to close so too much liquid doesn't come in. Yes. And I follow up my ascending colon. It comes up along the right side of the body. And it swoops down. It doesn't go straight across, but it swoops down a little bit like a soft U shape down along the front.
Now, Eleanor, if I just want to interrupt here just a moment, because this is an opportunity, even in a few minutes, to really connect with this vitally important part of our being and the communication that's possible in this whole intestinal area. And it's something that I've been awakening all last week. I had like 4 different nights. I woke up and I found myself starting on the right side and coming up around and going down to the left. Not crossing over is a really reason. Just come up in the right and go down to the left in that whole intestinal area. And I just followed my fingers and I found that the first day I went really, really, really deep with the chimp touch. I was very surprised. And I could really feel the top of my pubic bone and then over on the inside of my hip bones, I was going all the way, it felt like, to the whole floor of that area and around to the other side. And then the next night, I found I was doing bear touch really deeply. And at first, I found, I woke up and I found myself doing this. And I thought, I'm just going to follow this. What am I doing here? And for 4 nights, I used 4 different touches and really activated that whole area. And one of the reasons that I find this is just so important is that it's an area that many of us women, particularly, many of us have a tendency to disconnect from, because so many of us, me being one of them, I've got a bigger belly than I think that I would like to have. And giving that awareness, talking to the cells, acknowledging them, and connecting with them is a core for health. And it can be, because I have the interest of, wait a minute, like, which touch am I using? And I actually went in, one day I went in with a form of for those of you in the horse world, it's the rhino touch, where you see, I take my forefinger and my thumb is just coming to the edge of the forefinger. So then I go in and I'm supporting, like, instead of just taking the folded forefinger and making a touch, I'm supporting it, like bracing it with my thumb, and really going straight in here, really pushing in. It's something we don't use for dogs or kitties. And I certainly do use it for people to go in deep. If somebody wants to go in with a deep touch, it's a reasonably safe way to put a lot of pressure. If I want to do a 8 to 10 pressure on the person, if that's what they want. But what I have to be really careful of, watch this joint, like make sure that the joint is actually stabilized rather than flat. Because if I push with that and I put pressure on that joint, that's a good thing. I did it once when a friend of mine really, really wanted a 10 pressure on her, along her spine. And I did it. And I wound up with one of these like clicking little joints here in the thumb. And it took about 3 weeks to bring that back to normal. And that's one of the things that I want us to get from this beautiful process, Eleanor, that you've led us through, is connecting with this vagus nerve, but connecting with this different parts. And then bring it back. Let's bring it back to how can we use these various hand positions that we have given animal names to, which is, I have never given enough attention to why we have the animal names. This idea that when we honor the animal and bring that animal spirit, into our body in this way, connect in this way. And every time we bring the T-touch and we figure, which part of my animal name am I using here at this point? Wow. And we honor them. We are bringing a level of healing, not just to our bodies, but to the planet and to the collective. So I would really like to invite us to take just 5 minutes now and take this amazing, I find invaluable teaching, Eleanor, that you have shared with us now, and close your eyes and just ask your body, where would you like me to connect with you? And with which part of my hand? Some of you may not be, you know, I've not learned all the parts. It doesn't matter what the names are in the beginning. Just find the part of your hand that guides you and explore a little. Try this or that. One, some different way of connecting and communicating with that part of your body that says, wow, I would really appreciate your attention here. And let's just take 5 minutes. And either with what we've already been brought awareness to from today, explore that, or maybe some other part you don't have a chance to take that time. And let's do it together. And Sandy, I'll just ask you to just really watch. Let's watch for 5 minutes. Where do you want to put your attention?
Where would you like us to go from here, Linda? Where would you like us to go, Linda?
Thank you so much. I would like us, we've got another hour, and I would like us to, first of all, I want to invite you to listen to this again another time. I'm going to play this over and over because Eleanor, you know, it was just so incredibly rich. And this gives us a whole other level of opportunity to connect with this beautiful container for these 100 trillion cells of divine spark. And I want to close this part with another just inspiration, this concept we started with, the journeying, the spiritual part, that journeying into nature and connecting with nature. And then from this wonderful book, The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Living, Cellular Wisdom by Joan King. What really gets me is on page 14, when we open ourselves to source energy, we connect with cellular wisdom. For source energy is our link to the creative energies of the universe. And this concept of T-touch, this 1 1/4 circles, this concept that with every 1 1/4 spiral circle, we are activating both the logical part and the right side, the feeling, the creativity, the compassion, the intuition. And looking, just doing a little wrap on this looking at this definition of intuition, which is not the usual definition, the definition from the book by Judy G-E-E, that intuition is the manifestation of divine consciousness within you. Understanding its life messages will change your life and help you find your true path. And this concept of listening in this way, listening to our body, connecting to this 100 trillion cells, cellular wisdom, it's another way of being. And that for me is connecting and creating this feeling of heaven on earth. When we connect with it, remember our oneness with divine spirit and with all that is. That is what I have experienced as heaven on earth. And we create that every moment when we give gratitude to ourselves, to all that is, and that we connect in this way. This has been an amazing journey for me, sharing this, and all of the really incredible work that Sandy has put into our website and in our planning each time that we came together to plan these, to feel what we wanted to share with you. And Eleanor's exquisite new, another deeper look at the science behind this and ways that we actually can integrate, connect with divine spirit. So I thank every one of you, and I want to just close this segment, and then we do 5 minutes and then come back, Lynette.